Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of Dynacon Systems and Solutions. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Tanishka Tanvi from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Tanishka.
Thank you, Danish. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Dynacon Systems and Solutions Q4 FY26 earnings call to discuss Q4 and full year FY26 results. We have the senior management of the company on call, Mr. Parag J. Dalal, Executive Director, and Mr. Dharmesh S. Anjaria, Executive Director and CFO. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. May I now request Mr. Parag Dalal to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your continued interest in Dynacon and are pleased to present our performance for Q4 and financial year 2026. FY2026 has been another year of strong execution, strategic customer wins, and continued strengthening of our position as one of India's leading IT infrastructure, data center, cloud, cybersecurity, and managed services providers. The technology landscape is undergoing significant transformations. Enterprises today are investing aggressively in AI-ready infrastructure, cloud adoption, cybersecurity, digital workplace modernization, and resilient data center environments. As a trusted technology partner to leading BFSI institutions, global enterprises, and public sector units, Dynacon remains well-positioned to participate in this long-term opportunity. During FY26, we secured several marquee orders across cloud infrastructure, enterprise applications, networking, and digital workplace solutions. Some of the key wins include the Reserve Bank of India's Enterprise Application Platform project worth approximately 249 crores, Punjab and Sind Bank's private cloud infrastructure project worth approximately 109 crores, LIC's digital workplace solutions engagement worth approximately 138 crores, Jammu and Kashmir Bank's DaaS, Device as a Service project worth approximately 75 crores, and SBI's SD-WAN project worth approximately 75 crores. These wins are particularly important because they demonstrate our ability to address multiple layers of enterprise technology transformation, from data center infrastructure and cloud environments to networking, workplace modernization, and managed services. A major milestone during the year was the successful rollout of Core Banking as a Service using NABARD's initiative, enabling 38 banks to go live. This reflects our ability to execute large-scale, mission-critical projects with nationwide deployment capabilities. We also continue to strengthen our enterprise infrastructure capabilities through SD-WAN deployments, private cloud solutions, AI-ready infrastructure projects, and cybersecurity-led engagements for leading institutions. Another important focus area has been the expansion of our Device as a Service and digital workplace offerings. The recent announcement by NVIDIA of a new superchip that will reinvent Windows PC for the era of personal AI agents will power a big leap in the digital workplace offerings. These solutions not only deepen customer relationships but also help increase recurring and annuity-based revenue streams, improving long-term revenue visibility. On the technology front, we entered a strategic partnership with Cygenic to deliver AI-driven cybersecurity and trusted AI solutions across India, Middle East, and APAC markets. As enterprises increasingly adopt AI, Ensuring secure and compliant AI deployment will become a critical requirement, creating a significant opportunity for specialized service providers. The broader industry environment remains highly favorable. India continues to witness strong investment in digital infrastructure, driven by cloud adoption, increasing data consumption, cybersecurity requirements, and AI-led transformation initiatives. Industry estimates suggest that India's IT spending is expected to exceed $176 billion by 2026, while the country's data center capacity is expected to grow significantly over the coming years. We believe Dynacons is uniquely positioned to benefit from these trends because of our integrated capabilities across data center and cloud infrastructure, network and security, digital workplace solutions, and managed services. Our data center and cloud business continues to emerge as a key growth engine. The increasing adoption of AI workloads, data localization requirements, business continuity initiatives, and hybrid cloud architecture is driving demand for modern infrastructure environments. Enterprises are increasingly seeking partners capable of designing, deploying, and securing and managing these environments at scale, which aligns strongly with Dynacons' core capabilities. As of May 30th, 2026, our order book stood close to Rs. 3,000 crore, providing strong visibility for future execution and growth. Looking ahead, we remain focused on expanding our presence in data center and cloud infrastructure, strengthening AI-ready infrastructure and cybersecurity capabilities, growing managed services and annuity-led revenue streams, increasing wallet share within existing customers, adding new logos across BFSI, government, and enterprise segments, exploring opportunities in newer geographies and emerging technology domains. With a strong order book, deep technology partnership, nationwide execution capabilities, and increasing demand across our core offerings, we remain confident about the long-term growth opportunities ahead. With that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Dharmesh Anjaria.
Thank you, Parag, and good afternoon, everyone. FY 2026 was a year of healthy revenue growth, improved profitability, and continued margin expansion, reflecting the strength of our execution model and the increasing contribution from higher value infrastructure and service engagements. For Q4 FY 26, revenue from operations stood at 402 crores, registering a growth of approximately 22% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 36 crores, growing approximately 26% year-on-year. For the full year FY 26, revenue from operations increased to 1,424 crores, reflecting a growth of approximately 20% year-on-year. EBITDA grew significantly by approximately 41% year-on-year to rupees 146 crores, with EBITDA margins improving to 10.2% compared to 8.1% in FY 25. Profit after tax increased by approximately 17% on a year-on-year to rupees 85 crores. Our margin improvement continues to be driven by multiple structural factors. First, we are witnessing a higher contribution from the data center and cloud infrastructure projects, which continue to scale meaningfully within the overall business mix. Second, increased participation in solution-led engagements involving cloud infrastructure, SD-WAN, cybersecurity, and digital workplace transformation is improving the overall quality of revenues. Third, our managed services, DAS, and annuity offerings continue to gain traction, supporting better operating leverage and creating recurring revenue streams. From a balance sheet perspective, we continue to maintain a healthy financial position while supporting business growth and expansion. During FY26, we made significant investments in infrastructure and delivery capabilities, reflected in the increase in our property, plant and equipment from rupees 8 crore in FY25 to rupees 68 crore. As a result, net debt stood at rupees 68 crore as on March 31st, 2026 compared to rupees 17 crore in the previous year. However, our balance sheet remains strong with a net debt to equity ratio of only 0.2x. We have also maintained disciplined working capital management, providing us with financial flexibility to support execution of our growing order book and future growth initiatives. Finally, our ability to cross-sell multiple technology solutions to existing customers enables us to grow wallet share while maintaining disciplined execution and cost efficiency. Our order book remains strong and provides healthy visibility for future growth. This robust order intake reinforces our confidence in the growth outlook and reflects the strength of our market positioning across key technology segments. Going forward, we remain focused on profitable growth, disciplined working capital management, improving revenue quality, and increasing the share of recurring business within the overall portfolio. Our demand environment remains very healthy with momentum across data center modernization, cloud infrastructure, cybersecurity, managed services, and AI-ready tech environments. Tailwinds like the rising adoption of AI, automation, and data-driven operations are accelerating investments in modern digital infrastructure, creating significant opportunities for us to support our customers' transformation journeys. With that, we thank you all for joining us today, and we will be happy to take your questions.
Thank you so much, sir, for your speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Guneet Singh from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for this opportunity. First of all, I would like to understand if these 10% EBITDA margins that we witness in FY26, are they sustainable? So if you look at FY24, FY25 margins were about 8% EBITDA margins. So can you help me understand this, what drove this 200 basis points improvement in the margins?
Yeah, sure. So, see, the improvement in EBITDA margins is a structural improvement which is driven by richer solution mix and our operating level. We do believe that this level is sustainable, and we have already highlighted in our investor presentation, which also notes the focus on margin enhancement and value-added services. While the quarterly margins may fluctuate with the project mix, our goal is to ensure that we maintain the margins around the current levels by driving operating efficiencies and a richer services mix.
Okay, so if we look at our order book currently, about 3,000 crore near that level. So can you help, can you give us a mix, of segment-wise, which segment is contributes how much to your order book?
So as we have already explained in our last investor call also, for confidentiality reasons, we do not give out breakup of the order book segment-wise there, and that's the reason why we've not declared it this time as well.
Got it. So directionally, with the current order book, do we expect to maintain these 10% EBITDA margins? Is the nature of and distribution of work similar to FY26, or is there also some scope of improving the margins by increasing share of managed services or data center division? So if you can share your thoughts on this.
Yeah. While we do not provide any specific margin guidance, we are remaining focused on improving the efficiency, increasing the share of solutions and managed services, and expanding revenue, recurring revenues, which we believe should support the healthy margins over time, there with normal quarterly variations coming there. But overall, yeah, we do believe and we are working towards sustaining these margin profiles.
Got it. And how much of this order book is executable in the next 12 months?
So the order book consists of both near-term engagements, executions, and longer tenure executions. However, we do believe that, you know, if you want to take a number, it would be around 18 months to 24 months on average for this order book to get executed.
Got it. My last question is regarding the fixed assets. So they have increased from 9 crores last year to 158 crores. So can you help us understand what exactly are we investing in and how will this add to our business?
Can you just repeat what has increased from you mentioned?
Your fixed assets.
Fixed assets, yeah.
Property, plant and equipment.
So
they have increased significantly.
Yeah. Part of the investments in our fixed assets have gone on account of our as-a-service projects there, both core banking as-a-service and device as-a-service projects. So due to both these projects, we've added, you know, because of the nature of the projects, we need to add a significant amount of capex upfront there, which is what it has been added. And the revenue on account of that will come from over a period of time.
So earlier, I mean, were we not leasing out these the devices or sub-leasing the devices out? So have we changed the model to outright buying the devices and then leasing them out? Is there some change in the model?
No, we are still doing the same there. A majority of the portion has been leased out asset, but as per the accounting standards, we have you know, taken them into our books as right to use assets there and recognize the corresponding lease liabilities.
All right. So what kind of an IRR do we see in this device as a service and the leasing, sub-leasing business?
Well, there is no IRR number that we have disclosed out there. It's, again, internal records. So I'm sorry, we are not disclosing out.
Got it. Thank you very much. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My next question comes from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, this large RBI order win of about 750 crores, would it be possible for you to share how much of this 750 crores would be the maintenance which is going to spread out over 5 years and how much is the initial, you know, EPC execution and what kind of time frame are we looking for exact execution?
Yeah. So the order time frame is for a period of 5 years, which would include go live and then 5 years of O&M there. However, due to confidentiality, we cannot disclose the revenue till go live or till the O&M revenue there.
Okay, but generally in this kind of sort of, you know, deals, would it be fair to make 2/3 would be the initial go live and then 1/3 part of such kind of deals would be the maintenance work?
So I will not comment on a 2/3, 1/3 ratio, but what I can say is that this project follows our other projects also there in terms of, you know,
okay,
go-live revenue with O&M.
Okay. And can you share the go-live target at least?
No, I'm sorry. We are not sharing any targets or any values on go live or this.
Okay, no issues, no issues. The second question that I wanted to ask is, this quarter we have seen a very healthy revenue growth after many quarters. However, the PAT hasn't grown. It clearly is on account of increased depreciation and finance costs because of the OpEx lease that we are doing. So I just wanted to understand, is it such that the way these deals are structured, initially, the cost we are booking in terms of, say, this lease liabilities is much higher than the revenue that we are booking at the moment?
No. See, the sequential movement in margins that you're seeing is primarily driven by the short-term cost pressures and the normal quarterly variations rather than any structural change in the business or accounting there. So during the quarter, as you are aware that, you know, currently the supply chain situation and the cost escalations are there in certain technology components, which is partly linked due to the strong demand for the AI-ready infrastructure, which is creating supply-side tightness. So which has led to certain margin pressure in Q4 there, which we expect to normalize as supply conditions improve. And if you see that on a full-year basis, the EBITDA margins have actually expanded to 10.2%, which reflects strength.
Yeah, I'm actually not looking at EBITDA margin because increasingly EBITDA margin won't reflect the right number because a lot of the OpEx deals that we're doing, the
PAT
primary cost.
Margin. So, you know,
yeah,
even
for the full year, obviously, it has improved. Yeah. No, I'm actually not looking at sequential. I'm looking at YOY numbers. YOY revenues have grown about 22%. The gross margins are pretty stable. Right? The only thing that has impacted is the higher finance cost and depreciation cost, which is on account of OpEx fees, the lease liability that you're booking.
Correct.
So, yeah. So, what I'm not able to understand is if the revenues have also started flowing from those deals, at least the PAT growth should have been there if the gross margin is sort of intact. So, that is where I'm not able to figure out. Let me see what happens.
It is the PAT growth is definitely there on account of those lease margins and, you know, the lease interest also, which have been accounted for. However, there are other components which are, you know, not related to, you know, the leasing or the business there, the regular business there, which there are certain cost pressures, which is what I referred to, which is where you're seeing a little overall margin impact in this quarter.
Okay. So, okay. Other thing is that generally the CapEx, like the normal EPC business sort of deals that we do, we have traditionally made like 12-13% kind of gross margins. In case of this OpEx deal, after considering the rental cost of the equipment and, say, data centers that we're leasing, what would be the rough gross margin that you would be making these kind of deals?
So, as we have mentioned earlier there, we are not giving out any.
No, I'm just trying to understand the business, right?
On
saying you give.
Of the business segments there, we have refrained from it earlier and we continue to maintain the confidentiality around that. Having said that, these deals are definitely more margin accretive there, is what I can say there.
Okay, but let's see, as an investor, then it would be very difficult for us to judge this new deal that you're doing. Either you're not able to share the payback or ROC or IRR, neither you're willing to share any kind of, you know, gross margin understanding. So for us, it is very difficult to understand if the incremental, this new deal that they're doing, are they any better than, you know, the earlier model that we're doing? That is the only thing that sort of we are trying to understand. But okay, either way, that was all. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhijan from AJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Dalal and Mr. Anjaya. First of all, congratulations on the last 10 years of exceptional growth. I mean, with a string of PAT CAGR of more than 50% for 10 years, is extremely rare. So, hearty congratulations on that. Coming to my question, last year was generally probably one of the best years for, you know, data centers and cloud build out. not just globally, but in India also. You know, if you look at the India cohort of all those guys who are into data centers and cloud infrastructure right now. But for Dynacons, I'm referring to slide number 12. The data center revenue has been flattish this year. Now, is it on account of, you know, that you were not able to recognize certain revenue in the second half of FY26 and a lot of it will flow in Q1? Or are you generally seeing some sort of flatlining and a new normal for data center revenues? It was going pretty healthy at 50% CAGR, but last year was flattish.
Yeah. Thank you for, you know, your comments there. And see, if you really see, there is no flattening of revenue there, which can be seen in terms of, you know, the orders that we've announced there. You know, the Punjab and Sindh Bank order was announced. The RBI order has been recently announced there. So it is more about the timing there. Certain projects, as you know, our revenue is project-based. So there might be certain projects which get executed in a particular quarter. Some get executed overflow into the next quarter. So it's only about the timing difference there. Having said that, we still have 34% of our revenues coming from data center, and we continue to see that, you know, this will grow much faster than the other the rest of the segments.
Great. So what I'm hearing is, and obviously we don't give guidance, etc., but what I'm hearing is that this FY26 was a blip in terms of, you know, overall revenue growth, which came down to 12-ish. Otherwise, we have been maintaining the 20% CAGR all throughout. So I'm pretty hopeful that that will be the case going forward, so, given the timing issue is fine. But I think ultimately Dynacons should get back on that track in FY27 onwards. My second question was in terms of understanding more about the right of use assets, now that they have become a significant part of the company, at least in this year. On a steady state basis, given, you know, the Ind AS expected accounting, what is the annual amount of ROU that you think and depreciation going forward that one should build in? Because obviously these are the new normals that we have to live with as investors. So just to understand business, on a steady state basis, what is the annual ROU or depreciation that will be built going forward? That is what I wanted to understand.
So currently, the ROU for as a steady state basis will be pretty much accounted for all the projects that we have announced till date, for which are as a service there. Any new projects getting added in will depend on, you know, what kind of financing model that we are looking at taking those through. But other than that, currently what you're seeing there is pretty much a steady state.
Perfect. Answer, these ROUs that you have built up in this financial year, most of it, the billables will start flowing in FY27, or do you see some of it, you know, taking on to FY28 as well in terms of billables?
No, the billables will be there in FY27 also, and FY28 also. Yes. So it is like on a, because these are as a service, right? These are annuity based.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. And I should heartily congratulate you on what you have done in the last 10 years, you along with Mr. Dalal and Mr. Anjaria. Thank you for initiating these investor calls, because before that it was, you know, just shooting in type of investor. And yeah, wishing you all the best and hope this Sega Grow journey continues. All the best.
So much. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akash Jain from Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. My question pertains to the working capital cycle. As I see, the debtor days are increased Y-on-Y basis. Also, payable days increased to around 134 days. And if we see last 4 years, trade receivables have increased significantly from 301 crores to 602 crores, as well as simultaneously we are seeing a rise in trade payables from 219 crores to 443 crores. So could you explain me the reason behind it?
Sure. So
See, our business is mainly project based there, and most of the projects involve a go live there. As the size of our projects is increasing and the technology complexity is increasing, as you can see from the order size that we have been declaring maybe 3 years back versus the order size that we have been declaring today. So all of these billings, the order sizes are growing, and all of the payments, most of the payments in these are milestone basis, whereas the billings are usually happening upfront there. All the payments is received on basis of milestone there, because of, in infrastructure, you cannot bill on a percentage basis there really. You need to bill along with the infrastructure, you need to transfer the ownership to them. And hence, you're seeing a longer receivable cycle there. Along with it, we are happy to announce that because we have very good support from the OEMs and our suppliers there, we have been able to get a very good credit support from them, which is why you're seeing that the net working capital days, which was 14 days in the last year, is now actually 17 days. Now, this is, just an increase of 3 days there. And even at these levels, our working capital cycle is very efficient as compared to the other industry, the net working capital cycle. And we are always focused on maintaining the tight control over the receivables, inventory and payables. And we do not foresee any material pressure on working capital from the current levels.
Okay. So my question is, like, the days payable has increased from March 2021, it was around 75 days. Now it has gone up to 134 days. And we have a healthy cash balance as well. So why not make early payments to the OEMs?
But if the early payments don't result in giving cost efficiency, then it would not benefit if I'm able to enjoy a credit period. Because, see, most of the OEMs are supporting us in the projects and are providing us, and our distributors, they're providing us with higher credit lines there.
Okay. Can we negotiate for some discounts if we make early payments?
Wherever possible, we do that, and wherever it is beneficial to take that, we definitely undertake that.
Okay. Also, my second question pertains to your sequential performance. Like, gross margin has declined from 18% to around 14%, which has affected your operating profit margin from, say, 11.92 to 9.05. So, can you explain any reason behind it?
So, as we have also previously mentioned in our call, that we are not a company, because our business is dependent on projects. It's not a run rate type of revenue, or it's not a manufacturing unit where we need to sell off, or we have to sell off X number of units to maintain that. See, our business is in the nature of projects, so sometimes in a certain quarter, certain amount of projects would get executed, in other quarter, other projects would get executed. So you cannot, our business cannot be judged sequentially quarter on quarter, but on a year on year basis, you can see the growth. Secondly, also this depends a lot on site readiness, customer readiness, where this, the revenue recognition would depend on. Also, on the margin front, we have explained that this sequential movement in margins is primarily driven by these short-term cost pressures, or the normally quarterly variations there, because of the cost escalation that we are seeing there. This has led to some margin pressure in this quarter, which we expect to normalize as supply conditions improve.
Okay, and my question regarding to data center, like our mix has improved from around 14% to 37% it was in Q3. So data center contribution, how much was this quarter and for the full year, And when do we expect data center contribution to be over 50%?
So, we are definitely, our focus is definitely on growing the data center and cloud and the network and security business. As we've already mentioned that, you know, these are the focus segments and these are definitely margin accretive there. So our focus is definitely there to grow this there, and we are taking steps towards the same, as you can see in the orders which have been also announced there.
Okay. And sir, your bidding pipeline, historically, you said that was around 30% conversion ratio. So are you still intact on that? Like bidding pipeline, the presentation is given around 5,100 crores.
So historically, it is 30%. As we grow in size, obviously, you know, there may be a change there, but we don't expect. We've had a reasonable amount of success there earlier, and we hope to, you know, work, ensure that we have the same success there. Because most of this is to our existing set of customers also, where we are already present. So that gives us more confidence.
And then my last question is regarding whom do you consider as your nearest competitor?
We have a lot of contemporaries, but, you know, I would rather not name them on a public platform there. But what we can say is that with Dynacon's, you know, capabilities across the projects undertaken, with the kind of qualifications that we have in terms of the certifications that we carry, in terms of, you know, the project execution, like I already mentioned, where we are able to compete with companies significantly larger than us, which gives us really a good confidence and, you know, a higher chance in success.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dev Shah with Macquarie Group Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand that, so recently, Claude has released its Mythos Codex push. So just, there was an article related to how the government has pushed all, you know, many banks and other critical components of the economy to reassess their cybersecurity requirements. So are we seeing any orders from on that front, from cybersecurity? Is there anything building up in the pipeline related to cybersecurity in particular? And what is our right to win related to this? If you could just elaborate. Thanks.
So, yes, definitely the government has already put its directives to the entire BFSI industry, you know, around the recent announcements there. And we are seeing definitely a lot of, you know, interest coming in there, and a lot of projects being discussed with the BFSI sector, especially around cybersecurity there. A lot of bidding is also going on around there, towards that there. So we definitely are seeing a lot more interest and pipeline coming from that. That said, what is our right to win? As we have mentioned there, you know, our cybersecurity, we are using AI very, very rapidly in building our entire cybersecurity solution portfolio there. So, you know, AI for security and security for AI. We firmly believe that both of these are, you know, the cornerstones on which our cybersecurity solution is based, and that will be our right to win there.
Got it. Got it. This is quite helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aditya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question was regarding the recent filing.
on May 4, we received RBI private cloud filing. In that, there was a mention about the provision of integration of AI capabilities separately. So, is there any indicative timeline for the tender? And we are executing already about the EAP and private cloud. So, can be a possible bidder for it?
So as and when the AI components or bids are significantly out, we will undertake that there, and we will look into that, because having already won several large bids with RBI there, we definitely have a focus there. And it's an ongoing process. They have already procured in the past there. There will be further procurements. It's an ongoing process.
Got it. And my second question was on our Q4 dynamics. OPM dropped to 9% from 11.9%, which is like a 290 basis point decline, despite we have an 18% sequential revenue growth, right? And on the other side, trade receivable also increased from 437 to 602, which is 38% increase, whereas our revenue grew at lesser pace. So is it Q4 is generally heavy government-driven cost base kind of mix higher, so that Q4 margins are less? And on the receivable side, we have RBI, which has a longer period to pay back?
No. So as we have already mentioned there, the margin in the Q4 has been primarily driven by the short-term cost pressures and the normal quarterly variations, rather than any structural change in the business. You are aware that there has been a strong demand for the AI infrastructure and all the hyperscalers and AI factories, which has created a very, very big supply chain issue and has driven costs upwards there. Which, these cost pressures have led to certain margin pressure in Q4, which we expect to normalize as supply improves.
Got it. Got it. And as a small follow-up on that AI cloud capability order, are we eligible to get a bidding for that, or we need to get the certificate or some experience in that domain? Because that is a kind of different product compared to the normal private cloud business.
So as and when, not only for RBI, but for all other banks, whenever any bids come up on any AI-ready infrastructure or any AI solutions, we are regularly evaluating those and comparing our technical capabilities there. If there is any further certification or any requirements, we will definitely take that up.
Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bharat with Rishabh Investment. Please go ahead. Bharat, please proceed ahead with the question.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Thank you.
Sir, my question is regarding the momentum of growth. Can we maintain that kind of growth going forward also? And with the AI and data center, the way they are growing, can we also improve it further from the past records also?
Yeah. So while we don't provide any revenue forecast, we are definitely optimistic about maintaining a strong growth trajectory given the current momentum and market tailwinds that we have. We have a robust order book and a good pipeline there, which gives us confidence of the near-term prospects there. So there are a lot of good industry tailwinds because of the entire data center, cloud, cybersecurity, and managed services push, which definitely support our outlook.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Saurabh Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, sir.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I just have a couple of questions, sir. As you have just mentioned that our Q4 margin got impacted because of the price escalation due to the AI and all that thing. So how the situation is panning out? Because as I am aware, the prices are still on the higher side. So that can impact our near-term trajectory of margin in Q1 and Q2. So your take on that, sir?
So as you know, definitely the prices are in escalatory mode. However, what we see is that this is a very short-term impact there for us. We have already made significant changes around, how to address these conditions there. And we are hopeful that there will be no impact there. This will be a quarterly impact rather than a structural impact.
So it was kind of a one-time impact. This is what you are saying, sir?
Yeah, that is what we are expecting. This.
And going forward, the kind of things that you are implementing, so something similar like product mix change and or about model change, whatever things you are doing to deal with this situation, sir?
Yeah. So going forward, we are already working on several steps to, ensure that the impact of these are minimized there. While at the same time, we are trying to work on the solution mix there, which will go towards more margin accretive business there.
Got it, sir. And the second question, sir, that I have is, looking at the geopolitical situation and the AI boom and all that, so what are the some key risks that we see in our business going forward?
So see, the key risk definitely would be availability. First would be the supply chain. I think that is the biggest risk that not only Dynacons but every IT company in India would see, because currently the situation on the supply chain is definitely quite stringent. But I think with AI with the amount of AI adoption there, we see that as a strong tailwind for us there, and which will give us more benefits there, because the kind of AI adoption, the infrastructure required for AI adoption is definitely a big positive for our business.
Got it, sir. And the last question that I have is, sir, as you have mentioned that our fixed asset improved from 9 crore to 158 crores. So is it only because of the change in accounting, or that we have added some fixed asset in FY26, sir?
No. We have added there. We've got a core banking as a service project, the project for NABARD there. So we have got that, and we've added certain assets and for the same. So that, along
if
with
can all quantify the amount, sir,
taken for as a service business, that is led to that.
Sir, if you can quantify the amount, sir.
That is already mentioned. Our right to use assets are the lease assets, and the rest of the assets are the assets that have been procured on an outright basis.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side, and congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Binoy Jariwala with Opasha Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, go
yes,
ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So just a few clarifications from my end. You've shown that your bidding pipeline is roughly about 5,100 crores, right? The clarification that I'm seeking is whether is this for March 26 or is this as on May 26?
This is adjusted to be as on May 26.
As on May 26. Understood. So, Dharmesh, just to understand, you know, in this, when I look at the numbers, the split, data, I mean, the cloud and section and the digital workplace solutions, right? There has been a substantial jump in the bidding pipeline. So just wanted to understand, when we talk of this RBI order that we've received already, which is roughly about 750 odd crores, right? That would be a part of this bidding pipeline, or that is, I mean, since we've already received the order,
it's already received, right?
So this is not part of the bidding pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I'm beginning to understand, from a timing perspective, once you bid for a project, in how much duration would the results of those bidding be declared, and you'll get to know whether you won the project or you've not won the project? How much time would it typically take?
Project to project there. So usually, it ranges from 3 months, 1 month to 3 months. But looking at the present scenario, customers have also understood the early closure of such activity in order to meet the growing demand. But usually it ranges from the day the results are announced, it ranges from 1 month to 2 months.
On the NABARD project that we had won for banking as a service, will there be another round of tender and this, or is this on? Because I believe that there was phase-wise, the banks were supposed to, you know, participate.
No, it was not phase-wise. It was actually, each bank, each cooperative bank is on their own journey. They've all given out contracts to certain vendors there, because some of them have TCS banks, some of them have local applications. So depending on when their contract ends, is when they can, you know, join in. And there are more banks from different states are joining. So sometime back we had announced about Haryana. So like Haryana, 20 banks have added. Some Telangana banks are also getting signed the contract. So yes, there is, though there are no phases, but yeah, there is an regular process of more and more banks joining this initiative.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dhirendra Kumar Patro with Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yes. I just had one question. As we have seen the current scenario, our margins has shrunk because of the cost escalations. So what percentage of our order book would be having this cost escalation clause to pass on the price rises?
See, it is not about cost escalation there, because most of our pricing, we have a very strong backing from the OEMs there in order to, you know, execute these projects. So all the long-term projects and all the orders that we have already won, whatever margins that we have worked with, they have already been, the pricing has already been fixed there. Only the short-term fluctuation that we have been referring to is on account of cost escalation, let's say for one of the projects that we are bidding in there, and it is exceeding the customer budget by a lot because the price has run up quite a lot. And in order to close that, and if it is a good acquisition customer, we may decide to, you know, win over the customer. So sometimes, because of these reasons, also the short-term margin pressures can come in. But on a long-term basis, We definitely have price protection there. And then there are, you know, certain price escalation clauses also inbuilt in the contract. Like, for example, there is a dollar escalation clause in some of the contracts, then there is a force majeure there. So there are multiple ways in which we can look at, you know, raising those.
Okay. So this margins of lower EBITDA margins of 9%, this will be there in 1Q as well, or are we seeing any recovery in the margins in the current quarter?
We can't give you any guidance on the current quarter. What we can say is that we are working towards ensuring that the there is no spillover there is no structural shift. We can tell you that what you saw was a temporary blip, is not a structural shift in terms of margin.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Wing Commander DVM Teja with Indian Air Force. Please go ahead.
Jain sir, firstly congratulations for securing a project with Reserve Bank of India. My question to the management would be, given that your company is already recognized as one of the leading ESG entities in India, are you looking to integrate the battery energy storage systems either to your OEMs or maybe in your modernization projects for cross-selling the opportunity and capture the growth in that segment also along with the data centers?
So, a very good evening to you, sir. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And we value your suggestion. We take your suggestion. Currently, we are not in a position to comment on this, but we will definitely look at that opportunity and will come back suitably on the same.
Thank you very much, sir, and best wishes to all the team at Dynacon Systems and Solutions.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, team.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for giving us the time. Coming here today, we look forward to continuously engaging with you and sharing the insights. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.